County's Bicentennial Committee presents the Bicentennial Journal, stories celebrating the rich history of Monroe County. This is my Monroe County story. I am Glenda Murray. I like to find ways to connect national history to Monroe County history. That's why I find the stories about Susan B. Anthony visiting Bloomington so very interesting. After the Civil War in the 1860s, there were women and men in Bloomington who supported women having the right to vote. In 1870, they invited Susan B. Anthony, one of the leading women's rights supporters in the country, to come to Bloomington. She spoke a couple times during her visit. Theophilus Wiley, who lived in the Wiley House, now on 2nd Street, wrote, "Miss S.B. Anthony lectured on Friday night last, created something of a sensation by her forcible way of presenting her cause." A week later, he wrote, "Miss Anthony lectured again, began late, kept on till 11 o'clock, tired all the people out, was rather prosy, and lost a good deal of the ground gained." This is not the kind of impression a speaker wants to leave on an audience. 17 years later, in 1887, the Bloomington Telephone newspaper noted, quote, "The first general convention of women in Monroe County praying for the rights of the ballot was held in Bloomington on the 10th and 11th of November, 1887, in the Walnut Street Presbyterian Church," end quotes. One of the guests and leading speakers was again Susan B. Anthony. About 100 women and men attended. One of the organizers was Maud Showers, who was active in many progressive causes in Bloomington. In 2012, the City of Bloomington Commission on the Status of Women and the Monroe County Women's Commission dedicated a plaque at the Redmond Building at 116 North Walnut, across from the courthouse, to commemorate Anthony's 1887 visit. The Redmond Building is where the Walnut Street Presbyterian Church once stood. The plaque was rededicated in 2014 by the City and the County Women's Commissions after it was removed for building renovations. You can see the plaque today. The plaque represents Anthony's visit, but it's also a testament to the dedication and determination of the many women and men who fought for years for the women to have the right to vote. Despite their efforts, women in Indiana did not get the right to vote until the National 19th Amendment was passed in 1920, over 70 years after the first women's convention in Seneca Falls, New York, in 1848. When women went to the polls in November 1920 in Bloomington, the Bloomington Evening World estimated that nearly three-fourths of the female vote in the county was cast by 1 p.m. The paper also said women poll book holders braved the cold weather and stood outside the election precincts with men officials, checking off names as voters entered the polling places. Women of both parties were active outside the polls, showing that each side has a splendid organization. And that was from the Bloomington Evening World. I suspect one of the ways that women have been involved for years was by serving meals to the poll workers. The paper also reported that the ladies of the First Christian Church and the Fairview Methodist Church served dinner at noon, since they had the contract to feed the election officials. The Daily Telephone, the other newspaper in town, noted, quote, "It is as quiet about the voting places as in a Sunday school room. No arguments and no pulling and hauling as in the old days. The interest of women is unexpected," end quote. I have always wondered why the newspaper reporter thought the women's interest in voting was unexpected. So, my Monroe County story reflects on how hard women worked to get the right to vote and how they brought national speakers to town to help them persuade people of the justness of their cause. Join us next week for another edition of the Monroe County Bicentennial Journal.